But I'm here representing secular radio as well. I run stations in Cleveland, Ohio, in Akron, Ohio, called the Rubber City Radio Group. And I wanted to address you about things that we in secular radio are talking about, which are the very same things that you in Catholic radio and me in doing Catholic radio as well should be talking about. And there are three or four aspects of that, one of which is social media. And when we when they put the thing in the brochure, they made this a social media meeting, but I will tell you it's about a fourth of that and some other stuff too. So I'm going to give you what I call the five-minute guarantee. I'm going to give you 5 minutes of stuff, and if you don't like it, and you thought it was social media and you want to go learn how to fundraise or something, it won't upset me, okay? Because nothing like that would upset me. What I want to talk to you about is where we are today with radio. And there are five C's that we need to be thinking about in our industry. Change, choice, control, community, social media, and curation. Let's talk about the first, change. Things are changing so quickly now that we can't do things the way we've always done them. Now, I've been in radio as of August 1st, 50 years, 40 of that as a consultant. I consulted over 2,000 radio stations in over 20 countries. And I will tell you, whenever someone said to me, "This is the way we've always done it," I know they have a problem. So change is important. It used to take a century for a change. We went from horse and buggy to car in a century. And then it was a generation we would see change. And then it was a decade we would see change. And now we see change happening. This is my iPhone 7. It is obsolete in 22 days when the iPhone 8 comes out. And I just got it, right? I had a 5 before that. Obsolete. So we have got to understand that change is happening quicker than we can ever imagine. It's great stuff, though. Medical science will have more discoveries and cures and so forth in the next 10 years than they've had in the previous 1,000 years. That's how fast things are moving. We used to say the only people that like change are wet babies. That's the only people that like change. Everybody else resists change. The second thing we all have to be thinking about as radio broadcasters is choice. Now, how many of you growing up like me, I'm close to 70, we had three television stations growing up, right? ABC, NBC, CBS. And if your little brother held the rabbit ears standing on one leg near the window, you could pick up that one other station. That, for me, that was KDK in Pittsburgh. And so the choices were three. You know, NBC, CBS, ABC, that was your choices, right? Now, how many choices do we have in television? We have hundreds and thousands of them and nothing to watch. And how about radio? How many choices do we have in radio? We have an infinite number of choices in radio of things we can do. And so change is happening as quickly as we can imagine, even faster than we think. The choices that we have are tremendous compared to the choices we had then. We watched some pretty bad television back then because we only had three choices, right? The third is control. As broadcasters, we would control what you got to see or listen to. Doesn't happen anymore. The consumer is totally in control of what they consume. Radio has always been what we call a push medium, right? We push it out to you. In today's day and age, in the digital world, people pull to themselves that they want to consume, right? We download the songs we want to consume on our phone. We download the shows, podcasts we want to consume. We download the app for your radio station so we can listen to that radio station on the app. All of that is done in a method of pulling it to us, right? The next is community. When I was growing up, community was the Boy Scouts. Community was, I was an altar boy till I was 22 years old. Community is now social media. I'm about to have my 50th class reunion, and a year ago, a bunch of people in my class started Facebooking, friending each other up. We found all but about 8 or 10 people from my class of over a little over 300 people, and now we're all communicating back and forth and planning things and having luncheons and planning committee meetings and so forth, all a result of social media. I attend a lot of these conferences. It's about my 200th radio conference. I'm about 200. My first Catholic radio conference, though. But when we go to a conference, I get to see people that I only get to see once a year. And we are able then to keep up with each other, what's going on, what's happening through social media. And so change is happening faster than it's ever happened before in history, and it will continue to change and happen faster in the future. The choices are huge in the number of things that I can choose to download and bring to me. The control is in the hand of the consumer now, not in the hands of the publisher or the broadcaster. Look what's happened to the newspaper industry, huh? I can't remember a day I didn't wake up and read the newspaper. I haven't read a newspaper probably in half a dozen or more years. I get it from my iPad in the morning, from some of the same newspaper sources, but from my iPad. And the final thing is curation. As broadcasters that can't generate original, compelling content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we must be able to curate content that our audience will enjoy. And we can do that using social media, right? We can become the hub of what they see, what they read. We can become one of the sources that they go to get all things Catholic in my town, right? And that's the use of social media that we're talking about. So what's happening with radio in general? I'm going to give you three things that are happening. The first is a thing we call first device. And it's simple. What is the first device that you turn to in the morning? So you wake up. 85% of the people before 2000 woke up to what? The clock radio. Now, 60% of people are waking up to their smartphone. They set the alarm on their smartphone, they flip it on, they go right through the news or email or whatever they have that is generating. So let's talk anecdotal for a minute. I'll give you my household. I wake up in the morning and run downstairs as a good, diligent husband to put on a pot of coffee, while my wife waits for the coffee to come up. While I'm there, she takes out her iPad, and she checks through a few things on iPad, and then turns on Good Morning Cleveland, prior to Good Morning America. I come upstairs with the coffee, I grab my iPad, and I check my things, the news and so forth. We go down to the kitchen, and instead of a clock radio on the counter, we have a small flat panel television, right? And so it's a continuation of what we've been watching. So it isn't until I get to the car that I have on the radio, right? So what used to be the first device for everyone, radio, is only the first device now for about 40% of the people. 60% of the people are using television, but more importantly are using their smartphone or their iPad as their first device. So, you know, in commercial radio, we talk about how do we get to be first device? And you had mentioned some things that on your app, one of the things we have on all of our apps is an alarm clock. You set the alarm clock on the app goes off in the morning and plays our radio station while you're sitting there looking at the news or checking your email, huh? So that's the innovation that we have to look towards. The second is the digital dashboard. In Detroit, there have been 4 digital dash conferences, and basically that center stack in the new car with the screen, there are hundreds of people competing for that space. Pandora has 16 full-time employees embedded in the auto industry to make sure that Pandora shows up on that digital dash. Now, we all know that radio, we own the dashboard, right? Not anymore. We share that dashboard with satellite radio, course, you can get some Catholic programming on Sirius XM. And we share that now with apps. My wife's new Lexus, I drive a pickup truck, she drives a Lexus, go figure. My wife's Lexus doesn't say radio anywhere on it. It says audio, and it says AM, FM, satellite apps. And I'm in the car one day, and she loves our smooth jazz station, The Wave, up in Cleveland, 107.3 The Wave. And so she's listening to The Wave, and a commercial's supposed to come on, and another song plays. And I said, well, geez, that must be wrong with the station. She goes, oh, no, I don't listen over the air. I listen on the app, because whenever they play a commercial on the air, the app plays another song, so I get an extra song. See? And she's figured that out on her own without any prompting. And so people are hip when it comes to their apps. The next is in office. Back in the days of Easy 97 or Easy 104, who controlled the radio in the office? One person, right? Either the boss, the office manager, somebody. And in these speakers up in the ceiling here, we'd all be listening to Easy 104. What happens now in an office? People butt up and plug in and stream their favorites, which is a plus for us because most Catholic radio, being talk radio in nature, would be disruptive in the office, but it's not disruptive if I'm plugged in and streaming it, right? And so the in-office listening for things like Catholic radio with apps or through the web should increase if we talk about it, position it, promote it, that, hey, you can control your own radio at work, right? Your own listening at work. So those are the three things, the three fronts that we're competing on. Now, most of the people in the room, and I've been in radio, as I said, 50 years, we think that that box in the upper left-hand corner is what we do. And I want to dispel that myth today. We are not just terrestrial radio stations. The streaming audio portion is 17% of all listening to your radio station. 17%. That is increasing every single year. Most millennials, and we have some in the room, get most of their streaming, most of their radio through this device. What does this device look like to you older people? Doesn't that look like that Emerson 9 transistor Bakelite radio we used to have under our pillow listening to the Tribe and the Boston Red Sox game? Huh? Isn't that it? That's there. Transistor radio. And so that streaming audio also includes our app. I actually should have depicted it there. Because we know that a high percentage of people are getting things through their app. How many Google Analytics people we have here? When you go into Google Analytics and you click over on, you get your devices on the left-hand tab, look at the percentage of people that are streaming you via the app or via a desktop computer, and you'll find that it's closing in on 50-50, app versus desktop or laptop. In some markets, younger markets, it's flipped. More people are consuming on their mobile device than they are on laptops and computer. Your terrestrial radio and your streaming audio should feed to your website. And most people have websites, but few people know the reason they have a website. I did a seminar on this for Midwest Catholic Broadcasters a couple of months ago in June, and I asked the question, what's the purpose of your website? Come on, scream me out a few. To get your listeners' name and email address. That's one of the purposes of your website. If you have a cum of 50,000 people and we have a mailing list of 25,000 people, we're in touch, name and email address, with half of our cum audience, huh? So that's an important reason we have a website, to gather data. What's the other couple of reasons?
Donate.
You bet. To get some money. You'd be surprised how many websites. Now, what I did in that group back in June is I took all the stations that were there and I put their websites up on the screen. It was really embarrassing. And I said, where's your donate button? Well, if you click over there and then you go down to there and click and go to the bottom of the page, it says, get our newsletter. Oh, boy, that's exciting, huh? You want to sign up for that right away, don't you? It should be where? On the homepage, right up and top, there should be a button that big that says donate now. And right next to it should be a button that says join the apostles. Be a radio, we've got a warrior. Sign up for our mailing list. See how different that sounds? You want to have that right up there. So there should be three big buttons up there. One should say donate, one should say join our mailing list, and what should the third one say? Listen. Listen live. Listen. Big one that says listen. Every page of your website should have those three buttons on it. Listen, donate, and join. So I'm one of the radio stations in the group. I'm reading something that they put up a testimonial on their website. I read the testimonial and I'm in tears. And I said to myself, if at the end of that story there was a big red button that said donate, I'd probably drop a grand right now. But they didn't have a button. Nowhere was there anywhere to donate. And so I read this fabulous testimonial. I started crying. I didn't sign up for their email list. And I didn't donate. Because they didn't what? Ask me. Right? And so in developing our websites, we need to do that. So we want to use our terrestrial and streaming radio to get people to the website to do those three things. Now, there are other things we want them to go there to do. Prayer requests, archive library of our shows, things, devotionals. There's plenty of other things, podcasts we'll talk about in a minute. All of those things are things that we want to get them there for, right? And the more developed the station is, the more that we have. Living Bread Radio in Canton, we have some shows that we have 10 years of programs for these particular shows online that can be downloaded at any time. And if you understand long tail, everybody know what long tail means, right? Right? If I put something online and 500 people listen to it, a month from now, maybe 300 people might, and 2 years from now, two people will still be listening every month to that. The record industry discovered that when they put up download sites. They would put up 10,000 songs, and every month, all 10,000 songs were downloaded. Some were downloaded a million times, some were downloaded one or two times. It's a big curve that goes like that to infinity. I did an experiment with my kids. Both of my sons are almost 40. They had a garage band when they were teenagers. We put their stuff up on iTunes. My son last week got a residual check for 43 cents that he sent me a picture of the check. And I said, two or three more checks and you could biggie your fries the next time you go to McDonald's. But the long tail. People are hearing these shows. You're creating great, compelling programming. And when you put it on the air and it's done, right? But when you put it online, in your archive, it's there for as long as you continue to have it there. And all of these things should work to your website, and then your social media should help you to drive those things. So let me give you an example of how we in commercial radio would do something and see if you can apply it to what you do. I want to increase the number of people signing up for my mailing list. So I go into Google Analytics, or I go into MailChimp, or I go into one of my mail programs, and I see how many people do we have. Let's say I have 1,000 email signups. And so now I want to increase that number. So let's put together a program to do that. Let me have one. So we select the metric. The metric is increase my database. And then let's say we're going to take a 1 month period of time. We're going to do this from December 1st to 31st. Bad month because of the holidays, but we'll just use that as an example. So what am I going to do then to move the needle on my database? Well, the first thing I can do is I can schedule a month of on-air promos on my radio station and on my stream. And if you're streaming 100%, they'll be there automatically. How many? Well, you would probably know better than me in each of your markets how many that might be. To me, let's say it's once a day part, morning, midday, afternoon, nights, for a month, every day. The next thing I would do is schedule a month of social media. So I would go into Twitter and I'd schedule a tweet three times a day for the month. I'd write three different tweets and I'd rotate them. Let me give you a little secret about Twitter. You can put the exact same thing up on Twitter that you put up yesterday, as long as there's 24 hours separating it. So if you put it up at 8 today, you put it up at 9 tomorrow, 10 Wednesday, 11 Thursday. Get me? 25-hour spread. You can take that same tweet and put it out over the week. Write three of them, spread them a couple of hours apart, and you now have a Twitter strategy to go with that. Same thing holds true for other media that you might use, other social media that you might use. But let's, would you say, yes?
Would you do the on-air promos and the social media during the same month?
I'd do them at the exact same time, the exact same month. Now, there is a strategy where you would do it when you separate, but what we're going to do is we're going to just try to hit this thing, right? And then we're going to build a landing page on the website so we can send some people to the landing page, which is really just sign up, you know, might be a little sign up for our web and so forth, so that we can bit.ly or one of the shortening forms from the social media right to that page. They click right on there. Boom, they're signed up for your, they become one of your disciples. And then we're going to create a slide or a promo cell to ride on your website. A lot of you run slides on your homepage of your website or photo cells, we would create that. And then at the end of the month, we go back to our metrics and we measure our results. Now you see, we have now selected a metric, put together a campaign, and monitor the result. Now, when you're doing your pledge drive, let's say you're doing a pledge drive in March, that would be the perfect time to do a month or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You determine the length of the campaign, but using this same kind of campaign to push people to donate. Our annual pledge drive is coming up. These are all the wonderful things. You can become a member of the radio station. All you have to do is do this. Click here for more information. It takes them right to the page. Does this make sense? See, so often we are so busy doing all the other things in radio that we do this stuff, but we do it haphazardly. We don't sit and say, this is our strategy. Interestingly enough, in my radio stations, the last four hires that I've made in radio have been social media curators. Haven't hired any air people, haven't hired any salespeople, hired social media curators. They're all 22 and a minute old, right out of college. They're all much smarter than I am. That doesn't take much. That 1.9 GPA didn't get me. But we talked about that last night, the 1.9 GPA. People think I'm kidding. I had to take two gym classes in basket weaving my senior year to get the 1.9. But we can now measure that. So take your pledge drive and let's plus it up using social media, using our promotional, but we'll do it in a concerted effort, not haphazard. Do you guys promote your web? Yeah, we got a promo. How often does it run? I don't know. It's in there. Simeon brings it up occasionally. Nah, we got to do it. We got to do it better than that, differently, right? Here's something just real quickly to go over. How many of you know if your website is responsive design? Is it mobile responsive? Okay. Not mobile friendly. There's a difference. We don't want a mobile-friendly website anymore. We want a mobile-responsive website. What does that mean? That is a website that will automatically size to any device that you go to the website from. So if I go to your website on my iPhone 7, and she has like twice the screen I do. No, that's a... Oh,
Galaxy.
My. Galaxy. She's got like... It'll work for her. It'll work for me. It'll work for anybody. Right? Mobile-responsive. Not just mobile friendly. We need to make our design more current. When I say, well, I just got the website done 4 years ago. Yeah, that's how fast things are moving. Things are changing, right? The change is happening. How many of you have social sharing buttons on your website? Share, you know, your Facebook. And how big are they? Mine are like They look like chiclets. That's how big they are. If I showed you my website. I want to make sure people know. And when they read a story that I've written on my website, when they get to the end of the story, it says, share with your friends. There's a bunch of those chiclets going across, and you'll see 22, 31 people different sharing. And when they share, people are going to come to your website, where they're going to see the three big buttons that say, donate, listen, and join. Okay? Yes. No, please do.
When you use the word current, can you quantify that? What does current mean by how current is your design?
Mobile responsive designs have been pretty much the industry standard for about 2 years.
You're not talking layout of the web page.
No.
You're talking about mobile responsive.
Right, right. When we're talking about the layout of the web page, we're talking about getting the good stuff above the fold, as they say in the newspaper business, right? Let's get the good stuff, the donate, the listen, and the join, above the fold. Let's make those points of entry very visible, easy to get to, and so forth. The other thing I like to do, and again, this is there's some discussion in the industry about this. I like multiple points of entry on everything. So on the drop-down menu, join. On the big button, join. You go to the bottom of the page, join. You go to an article, join. Gosh, you know why? Because what do we really want them to do? Join. We want to get their name. We want to get, and then how often we go to them is also something that's discussed. I just saw Kristen walk in the room. I just got her newsletter Tuesday. It was outstanding, by the way. It was an outstanding. And so, how often do you do yours?
Every other week.
So sometimes people do them once a month. Sometimes people do them quarterly. I think personally think quarterly is not often enough. You want to. We call them touches. If my that website appears in your feed, even if she deletes it, she still saw Tony Agnese finding God's grace, right? She deletes it. If she opens it and sees the article, that's a plus. If she clicks on the article and likes it or shares it, that's an even bigger plus. And if she sends it to three of her friends or emails it to some other people, that's an even bigger plus, right? So for example, we were talking just earlier, yes. Some of it can be curation, finding great Catholic articles and things to do. I will say this, I have a lot of Catholic radio stations that share my stuff. I have a thing right on the website. Feel free to steal it. Just give me credit at the bottom. Because why do I want credit? So that what? They'll go to my website. Maybe they'll like something else and share it with somebody else. I was just saying, I wrote a story about 4 years ago called Girls with Purple Hair, about how I love girls with purple hair. And it was a story about me driving my car and seeing a motorcycle accident. And there was a kid laying in the street, twisted body, motorcycle, and people were just driving around him. And as I pulled over to help him, a little girl with purple hair in a real funky outfit ran out in the middle of the street, dodging cars, and dragged him to the curb. And as I approached, I started tending to his wounds, and she was calming him and talking to him and just being absolutely a blessing to him until the EMS got there. And I saw the same girl a week later at Project Homeless Connect that we did that year in Stark County. And I just started noticing I was seeing a lot of girls with purple hair who were doing wonderful things. So I wrote an article about it. Now, most of the people that read my blog are between 35 and 64. I got over 1,000 emails with pictures and thank you notes from girls with purple hair. And they said, finally, some old guy gets it. Isn't that cool? Now, how did that happen? That happened because I have social sharing buttons. They were saying, oh, this is cool. And they shared it with their friends. They put it on their Facebook page and so forth. And it went, what's the word we use? Viral. It went viral. Okay? So we talked a little bit about metrics, which ones you want to improve. So we're going to do a seminar on social media. Pick, I don't know, 20 to talk about. This is this slide I've been using probably for 2 years. So this slide probably only about a fourth of them, because they're always new ones. But what are the ones that you are using that are working for you? What social media things are working for you? Now, most people would say Facebook. And Facebook is getting harder and harder to break through on. Right now, when you post on Facebook, only 6% of your followers will see that post in their timeline. So if you have 1,000 followers and you post something on Facebook thinking they're going to be 1,000 people, no, they're going to be 6%. Right next to your post, there's a little button that says what?
Boost.
What do you got to do to boost?
Pay.
Oh, and I found out something. Once you've done that and paid, you don't get even 6% anymore. They're going to keep squeezing it down, so you'll pay more. Because Facebook is in the business to do what? Make money. And who's it got to come from? Us. So Facebook, although it does the best metrics still to date in terms of responsiveness, it's getting harder and harder to break through on Facebook. What are some others that you're using? Twitter? And how often do you tweet? Three times a day is about right. So Twitter, we talk about three times a day as being about the right amount of tweets. And how do you separate them? Do you
Morning, afternoon.
So you spread them once a day part, once morning, afternoon. I tweet eight times a day. But I tweet only three times a day of my material. And those three times are all scheduled in about 10 minutes on Sunday morning before I go to Mass. And they're scheduled for the entire week. I never touch Twitter again. I have an app on my website called Tweet Old Posts, and it takes all my old stories and it puts them in a pile and it deals them out just like a music rotation system at a radio station. And it rotates my 300 or so stories I've written. And it sends those every 5 hours. And then I go online and tweet other people's content. You know, some really, really fabulous Catholic bloggers out there that I follow that just write the most beautiful stuff, and it's really worth sharing. What other things do you? I found for me. Now I'll probably lose my man card. Pinterest, I rock on Pinterest. Now, how do you rock on Pinterest? I always use great pictures, great graphics. You know, you'll see a beautiful girl with purple hair. And every purple-haired person is sharing it, and it's all over Pinterest, right? But it also allows me to link to my website. So Pinterest, not only put up the thing, but it links to the website. And I create boards for, you know, I have a board called Finding God's Grace, which is the name of my website. I have a board for Awestruck TV, which is an Australian Catholic Twitter or Catholic Facebook kind of page, Catholic Twitter Lounge, or a Catholic Pinners Lounge, excuse me, is another place that we pin to at Pinterest. But Pinterest, I find to be very useful. Instagram, I think, is the fastest growing one of all of them. And for example, my youngest son has just over 67,000 followers on Instagram. He posts every day. And he gets between 40 and 50,000 views of that post every day, which is greater than the cum of most Catholic radio stations. So now he has advertisers saying, hey, would you have a Coca-Cola sitting there when you're doing your thing, and so forth. And you see how that can develop. Instagram has been... He also posts... He uses Instagram and YouTube are his two favorite. Of course, he does video. So video plays well. You can do a minute video now on Instagram, up to a minute, and you can do... You know, any length. This is another rule that in secular radio we do with our social media. And we call it a third, a third, a third. For every post that I do on programming, I want to tell them the great shows I've got. If I've got the bishop going to be on Wednesdays at noon, I want to promote that. I want the bishop's picture. The bishop's corner, noon on Wednesday. And I want to promote that. And then I also want to link that to maybe a page on my website about that show. So I can maybe even get them to the website. And once I get them there, I might get them to do something else. A third of promotions. And it could be our upcoming event that we've got coming up, or it could be the banquet we have, or we've got a priest speaking at such a church, that type of a promotion as well. And then finally, what we call marketing sales in the secular side for you would be fundraising side, the donor type posts of becoming a member and joining us and so forth. So you don't want to just hit them over the head with the same material. There's another rule called 7-1-1, which says that we should post other people's stuff 7 times more than we post our own stuff, which means if I see a great article that somebody in this room has written and I post it and you get some traction from that, my credibility goes up because I have shared with my 6,000 followers your material. And if they think your material is cool, then by association, obviously I'm cool too, which is hard for me. So when I can hitchhike off of somebody else, I try to do that.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I was right. You're saying it's better to post other people's stuff 7 times?
Yep, yep.
And so how does that tie into this?
That's what my stuff, just my stuff.
This is the one time.
Right. One of those and one other of those, you know, should rotate around. Now, they don't have to go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I don't want to imply that. And most people don't adhere to third, a third, a third. But that's kind of a rule of thumb that you might want to look at. The best posts are not about us, they're about them. And that's, you can enjoy Father Larry Richards at the men's conference Saturday at St. Somebody's Church. So, you know, it's about them, not necessarily about us. Those are the ones that seem to get the best traction. What matters to our friends enough for them to share it with their friends. So it's a friend sharing for friends. For example, I have an amount of friends. So you and I are friends. He has friends that I don't have. So if I do something that he shares, I am now one concentric circle away from me. If one of his friends shares my stuff, then I'm two concentric circles. That's how things go viral. I can't just have, you know, my cousin Diane and my aunt Fern say, oh, they like everything I post. They don't even read it because they don't like what I posted. They like me, right? So they put that up there. My wife doesn't even like me. Can our friends create a story from our post? Some of those posts that go viral are those that you can create a story from. I saw a map of county by county of the presidential election. And the map was all red, except for New York, LA, Chicago, and a couple other metro areas, Philadelphia. And I shared it with some people last night. And somebody posted it and said, they have better coverage, or that Trump had better coverage than Verizon, because the map actually was colored in more than the Verizon. Now that's something that I got to share, right? I got to share that, right? And so that's why those posts do that. So what should we be thinking about? We should be thinking about our streaming, and we want to make sure that that includes an app. And that app should drive people to that stream. And again, you know, on my phone, for example, I have about 5 radio station apps on here. And depending on what mood I'm in, I'll listen to the app. We have a little community station where I live. I think it's 100 watts. But they did the high school girls state championship basketball game. Our team was in it. And I was in Naples, Florida, you know, sitting by the pool with my glass of wine, listening on their app in Columbus, Ohio, to the girls' basketball game, right? Because that was available to me, I was able to do that from that simple little app. It's the same thing with your programming as well. Podcasting. I can't stress enough, if I were here a year from now, we would be talking, we'd have a whole session on podcasting. It's the fastest growing means of communicating, and the reason is it's totally 100% control of the consumer. They can download the podcast and listen to it at their convenience. They don't have to be tuned in at 8 a.m. on Wednesday or 12 o'clock on Thursday to do it. And so if you can get your quality programs onto your web and podcasts from the web, you may not see results that you think are good enough. You know, you may say, well, I only had 28 more people listen to it than listened over the air. But believe me, you've got, once you've established that foothold, you will see amazing results. Now, I say that, I've done 150 podcasts. Mine are called snackable podcasts, which is under 5 minutes long. They each deal with one subject. They each tell one story. They each have one scripture involved with them. And when I post on Wednesdays, by Thursday morning, I have between 5,000 and 7,000 people have listened to it. By the end of the week, it's over 25,000 people have listened to it. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. What I'm saying is that's the power of podcasting. It's under 5 minutes. Some of them are 2-3 minutes. Some of them are 4 or 5 minutes. If I had means, I'd play one for you. But you can just go to my website there all over the place and just go to the podcast section and they're there. Well, mine have no stations associated with them. Mine are strictly over the air, strictly digital. But I have, any radio station that wants to use my podcast, simply use them. Yes. Mm-hmm. I write it all. Mm. Yeah, I'll give you a website. And it might be good to look at it just to see how that works, because we're on Podbean and we're on iTunes and we're on Stitcher and we're on Google Play and we're on TuneIn Radio and so forth.
Is that in addition to podcasting your local shows?
Not necessarily. It could be just podcasting your local shows. I mean, that's where I would start. I would make sure that every one of my shows got up there. You know, you spend all this time and energy creating a good local show, and you play it. Then what do you do with it? If you play it and it's over, that's how we did in radio for years. We started podcasting our top of the hour newscast at one of our commercial news talk stations. And you play the newscast at the top of the hour, and the second it's over, it's on the web. And we probably get another 100 people that'll listen to it within the hour. So was it worth extending our reach by 100 people? We think it is. Okay? And mobile apps. Now, I just read an article that said in 3 years apps will be obsolete. And these futurist guys, they got something else already up their sleeve. Now you won't have any apps on your phone. You won't need them. I also know that, you know, how many of you Google search at least once a day for something, right? They say within 3 years, no one will be typing in Google search. It'll all be voice. And I started doing it. Well, I started doing it because I'm in the car driving and I don't want to. I go, and you know, bing. I go, look up Delmonico's restaurant in Monterey. And bing, and it pops up. Those little speaker things that they're pitching on TV. What are those little things called? No, those little circles, and you talk to them, and you tell them to do things like having your own. Yeah. Yes. Those are where it's going. So we aren't going to be typing anymore. Thank goodness, because I have really fat flat thumbs, and I get 3 or 4 letters. My wife just flew to California, and my 2-year-old grandson is nap time, so she's got to Uber from LAX to Tarzana. And my wife is like, so what do I do? Well, you got to download Uber. Oh, then what do I do? Well, you got to put a credit card in there. Oh, then what do I do? And you got to put the address in there you want to go to. And then somebody will pick you up and take you there. And how do I pay them? You don't. It comes right out of here. That's pretty cool. So I will find out if she made it. She said to me, we just got back from California a week ago, and she said, I understand you're going to Birmingham. And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, good. That's nice. I'm going to go to California. She left. So I'll spend the weekend eating. Well, I have a men's conference tomorrow, so I'll at least get lunch. And then I'm on my own until wine 30. Here's some of the things. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Libsyn, Google got their podcast platform right now. How many of you are on TuneIn? TuneIn, your radio station on TuneIn? My podcast is on TuneIn. And so you can go and get my podcast on TuneIn Radio. And so you go to town and you're looking at all the radio, say, oh, and there's the Catholic station. And then, oh, there's this goofball that writes these stories. And they'll click and hopefully they'll hear one and listen to it. This is a little map. This map's old. Did this map a while back. One of my futurist things I talked about. But, you know, when you come to the fork in the road, what's the old saying? When you come to the fork in the road, take it. And so we have to take that fork in the road, which means we have to do both, right? So over the air is push. It's one way. It's brick and mortar. It's Kuhm. It's Nielsen. Radio 2.0, the streaming side, is pull. It's interactive. It's two ways. We can get them to database. We can do analytics on them. We can find out what they're doing. We can know their age and sex. I mean, if you haven't turned that part of your Google Analytics on yet, demographics and so forth, so you can get age and sex, you know exactly how many men, what percentage male, female, what age demographics they fall in, who your key target is. It's good to know. Tribes are groups of people that act alike. And for example, my blog, I have a woman in Germany who loves my blog, and she has become a maven. I have like tremendous followers in Germany because of this one person. So she's got her little tribe over there. I've got another in, I think she's in Colombia, in South America. Blanca Hernandez, and she does the same thing. I'm all over her stuff. So, and my website, by the way, is in 74 languages. So you can, and we use Google. We use Google to put it in their language.